This is Bruce Marable from EmployCycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company.
Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule as we're all dealing with this economic and health crisis from a personal and professional standpoint. So it would be great if we could start off by getting some information and background about yourself, including your name, your company, and your role. And then after we get some background info, then we'll go into the full interview.
Okay, great. So this is Anne Broby, and I am connecting with you today from Oakland, California. And I lead the HR team at Turnitin, which is an education technology company here in Oakland. And I've been in HR for about 20 years.
I'm sure your company is pretty busy right now.
It's pretty interesting. I mean, if you think about what we actually offer is we help teachers and universities and secondary schools with their online programs for students. And so this is a very interesting time for our company. We're actually able to help during the COVID crisis. And it's a very interesting time from an HR leadership perspective, trying to make sure that our employees are staying engaged and they're getting the help and support that they need. So busy on all fronts.
Nice. And what is your current headcount?
We just acquired a company, so that puts us at about 540 people.
And did you have any employees working remotely before it was mandatory?
We did. And actually, it's interesting to hear them talk about this whole situation because in some ways, they were not only remote from a main office, but they were often by themselves, you know, working from home. And they're actually appreciating now that everybody is remote, and they're feeling that there is a greater understanding of the things that have been difficult for them up to this point, and that there's others of us that now kind of understand what it's like to be remote from all your colleagues.
To stay on that point, I've spoken to friends who work remote, and they've had the same sentiment. They've shared that same feeling of having everyone now having empathy and more and better understanding about their remote role. So I'm curious, have you been able to leverage the experience from your remote employees to help all the non-remote employees figure out how to deal with this?
Yes. I mean, I think it is a different situation, right? If you're at home and you need to both, you know, work at your full-time job and your kids, I think that's a slightly different situation. But we have absolutely been learning from our folks that were already remote, and they have been teaching us things and things that we'll take forward. So, for instance, the ever-popular Zoom calls that most of us spend a lot of our days on these days, it's a lot easier if everybody is remote, meaning, you know, typically we would have four or five people in a room and maybe a few people on Zoom that were remote. And in this new situation, we're all learning how much easier it is, and it kind of like equals the playing field when everybody is remote. And so we've already decided that when we go back, whatever form that takes, that we will actually, you know, continue to work in this way. We will continue to have everybody remote when there's a Zoom call when it's possible. And the other interesting thing is I'm involved with an organization called the Enneagram in Prison Project, and I was lucky enough to sit on a call recently, actually also a Zoom. And there were some formerly incarcerated individuals that are part of the organization that were talking about parallels between incarceration and this, you know, work remote thing. And so I personally just learned a ton from them about kind of managing your energy and taking the breaks when you can and taking advantage of, you know, if you're allowed to go outside, you go outside. And so it's been this interesting mix of how we do work, and then we're all learning from different sources.
That's really interesting. So to timestamp this interview so people can understand where we are in this timeline based off of your comments, today is May 5th, so happy Cinco de Mayo to everyone who's celebrating. So we've been in this, depending on where you live, where you are, roughly 6 to 8 weeks now where people have been working from home. Some people are experiencing more stress and anxiety. Others are actually getting used to this. And this is really becoming their new normal, and they're figuring out what their new routines look like. Can you speak about the sentiment and what you're hearing from your workforce right now And which of those two camps, or even other places on the spectrum, where you feel that most of your employees are today?
You know, I think it really, really varies. And I think, like I said previously, I think our employees that are trying to be full-time teachers or daycare workers plus working full-time, they're having a really tough time. And so what we have employed for everybody, no matter what your situation is to really focus on your own health and wellness and flexibility, right? Like, this is not a normal circumstance. We're asking people to do the best they can, which sometimes may mean may look very, very differently. And then we have people that are thriving, and they are kind of in a far more creative mode than they've ever been in the past. And they're able to produce things by being able to put their heads down and kind of be quiet, that, you know, are amazing, right? And then the majority of us fall somewhere in between, right? There's good days and there's bad days. And what the sort of stance we've taken at Turnitin is to do the best that you can and kind of bring your true, whole, authentic self to work, which sometimes may be a little bit messy, and allowing for that messiness. So I'd say we're all across the spectrum.
From an HR standpoint, I'm assuming, like many other HR and business leaders, you may have been in crisis mode when this first started. Are you now still partly in crisis mode, or has your HR role also shifted to more of a new normal, where now you're looking to maintain what's happening today and then figure out everything moving forward?
Yeah, I guess I would answer that question by saying it was definitely crisis mode the first couple of weeks. And since we're global and we operate in 150 countries, we actually even started much earlier than the U.S. was impacted. So the first few weeks were definitely crisis and just, you know, kind of going hard 24/7, making sure our folks were taken care of, people were safe. They had communication channels. There were ways for them to take care of themselves and the people that they cared about. What I call right now is a little bit more like a heightened awareness. So whereas I normally would have a, you know, sort of a formal communication with the whole staff, maybe once a month, we would do all hands once a quarter. I'm personally, as the head of HR, communicating weekly, and my CEO is communicating weekly. We just sort of split. He usually communicates on Monday. I usually communicate on Thursdays, and sort of have that outreach to our employees to kind of let them know what's going on in the business, what we're seeing, what we're anticipating, what we're working on, to reiterate to them how important their own, again, health and wellness is. So it's less crisis now, but it is heightened awareness to the degree that any of our employees get impacted or their relatives get impacted. You know, we need to be right there to help them and support them in any ways that we can. As we start to think about when it might be safe to come back to whatever our new normal is, you know, we're in planning mode for that right now and trying to think about what that might look like. So I'd say it's evolved from crisis to just heightened kind of awareness, if you will.
One of the things that keeps popping up in a lot of headlines and what a lot of people are saying is that employee engagement has maybe been at an all-time high from the perspective of companies trying to do everything they possibly can do to make sure that, as you were saying, your employees are mentally and physically, you know, financially, all the ways that they need to be well, that they're taken care of. So what do you think about that, and how do you really perceive what employee engagement looks like today and then also moving forward?
Yeah, it's a really timely question for us. We literally just completed our twice a year employee engagement survey, and we did have that discussion. Do we do it now? Do we not do it now? But we decided it was important, and we adjusted some of the questions to really understand how people are doing and dealing with things and what they might need. But exactly to your point, Bruce, we saw a 6-point jump from our engagement score that we did in September. And just to give you some context, we've been inching up since we launched, you know, measuring our employee engagement 2.5 years ago. So, you know, we'll gain a point each time we take it, ish. And this time we jumped 6 points to your point, there's been a dramatic jump in employee engagement. And I think a piece of that is exactly as you said, because we immediately got on communication channels. We immediately started doing everything we could to support our employees. We are lucky we haven't had to do any layoffs or furloughs or salary reductions. In fact, as we talked about, our product is really helpful during this crisis. So I also think our employees are seeing the impact that our products can have in really helping universities and schools to continue to be able to teach. And so we have definitely seen a higher employee engagement. And your question about going forward is an interesting one. You know, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from this. We talked about some of the working remotely lessons already, right? But some of the other lessons are really around what can we learn from this about what is important to our employees. And I think that just continuing to have open lines of communication, increased communication, two ways, giving lots of opportunity for people to give feedback, giving lots of opportunity to listen and to really take action on the things that people are telling us, small ways and big ways, right? Like a really small example was we have a gym reimbursement program. Well, nobody can go to the gym right now. And so we switched our policy from being only applicable to going to the gym to being applicable to things like if you have a Peloton membership or you're doing something online that there's cost for. So we switched those small things, you know, sort of real time, and it'll be all our opportunity to continue to listen and really put our fingers on the pulse of our employees to understand what's important to them going forward. And the biggest part of that is exactly how we keep them safe. And if we do, you know, if and when we do open up our offices, what does that look like? And just making sure that our employees really have a voice in helping us design that. And to that point, I have actually converted our employee engagement survey, and I'm going to survey our folks again, actually just this week, and ask them and sort of find out if it was all safe, would you want to go back into an office? What are the things that you would need in order to feel safe to go back into an office? What should we know about keeping everybody healthy and safe? How do you commute to work? All these types of questions, which will help us design what our kind of future state looks like.
Earlier, you mentioned that your employees are on a spectrum where some people may be totally stressed out, other people may be totally fine, especially if they had prior experience to remote work. So to tie that with actionable insights and really taking action on the feedback that you're getting from your employee engagement surveys, with people being on such different ends of the spectrum and then so many people being scattered all throughout in between, how do you come up with one cohesive employee engagement, recognition, feedback, actionable strategy? Or is it customized based off of each individual employee, which seems almost impossible to do?
Yeah, it is. That said, one size does not fit all. So what we have to do is really lock arms and be in partnership with our management team. And so we will have some global programs and policies that we employ and then need to be sort of tweaked or adjusted on a local level, right? So things like we have a stated policy of family first, and we really believe in the flexibility that you need to take care of your health and wellness and those around you as your primary responsibility. Now, what that looks like for some will be different than others, right? And I can't sit in Oakland and determine what that might look like in South Korea for our employees there. We have to rely on management to really help with that implementation. And what might be different between the South Korea folks and the Melbourne folks versus the Austin, Texas folks, right? What they need locally will be quite different from what I could sort of decide sitting in Oakland. And so what we're trying to do is set the guardrails to really help people kind of get what they need and be as successful as they can and bring as much of themselves as they can, their authentic selves, to work along with these sort of parameters, and then allowing a lot of local flexibility in order to meet the actual demands of individuals.
And then last question here, for any HR leader out there or any business leader in general who's looking for advice, looking for community to better understand how they can keep the right mindset, the right perspective, and leverage the right skill sets to make the right decisions during this time, what should they be bringing to the table?
I mean, here's the deal. The only thing we can ask anybody is to bring their whole authentic self, right? And so I don't, you know, I've sat on a ton of web calls, I've read a bunch of articles. I'm using all of that to inform us and to inform me and to sort of help the strategy. But at the end of the day, the best thing I can do is actually bring my whole self, even when it's messy, to work as well. So what that's looked like for me is that I admit when it's kind of sucky for me too, right? Like when things aren't going well, I'm actually sharing that in my weekly communication. But really relying both on collecting, you know, there's lots of great information out there and there's lots of different groups and teams and places to get great insights. But at the end of the day, you know, sort of my team and I, we really know the Turnitin team the best. So we take all of that great information we're getting from various resources, thinking clearly about our team and what works best here at Turnitin, and then doing our very best to show up as authentically as we possibly can in order to support the team.
Thank you so much for bringing your full self. This interview, really appreciate it. Had a great time going back and forth with you. You provided so much insight and so much wisdom. So really appreciate your time. And I hope you, your family, and your entire team stay safe and healthy.
Thank you, Bruce. It was great to be here with you.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employeecycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.